Oh, our usually our co-host was going to be Wendy, and she is out of town at her uncle's funeral. But I was very lucky to get two wonderful women to pitch in to make this show interesting and meaningful. First, joining us today is Nancy Palm. And many of you may have talked to Nancy to arrange a nutrition class at your company. She's also been instrumental in developing our new series of classes called Living the Weight and Wellness Way. So welcome, Nancy. You and I have been working lots this last year together. So kind of give listeners an idea about what these classes are all about.
Good morning, Darren. Thank you. I'd be happy to. We have been working hard on these classes for over a year.
Harder than we even wanted to.
We're very happy with them, though, and I think people will be pleased with them. We developed the classes at the request of many of our weight and wellness students because the classes are only open to students that have taken those series who said, how can we do this for life? How can we eat healthy for life and stay well? And so we developed a series of 8 one-hour classes, and the classes give people lots of ideas, new information, support, and we look at what are the roadblocks, what are the things that get in the way of your being able to sustain this kind of good nutrition. And one of the phrases, and I think, Dar, this was yours, that you came up with it, is people sometimes trip themselves up because of their expectations, and we call them over-the-rainbow expectations. They have such high expectations of themselves that they can't possibly meet them. And then we look at what are the lifestyle factors, lots of new recipes, cooking ideas, and we have a neat new concept for people. And that is looking at something we call body signs.
And we've used that on the show a little bit. We've had body signs. We've talked about that. I've often pulled that into the different shows. Like, you know, when you, different things that happen if you have these little skin tags, remember?
Exactly.
We talked about that, skin tags, and that would be an indication that you maybe have some insulin resistance or you might be pre-diabetic is one reason that you might have skin tags. So we pulled a lot of those in, didn't we, Nancy?
We did. And what's nice about that is it makes it so that things are no longer academic. You can look at something and say, gosh, what are some of the indications? What are the ways my body is speaking to me to let me know that I may really be insulin resistance?
Right.
And
so
I can do something about it. And these brand new classes start July 14th in St. Paul and July 15th in Wayzata. Only $169 for all 8 classes. I know, Dar thinks that's a little low. It's a bargain. But if people sign up for this very first series, they're going to get a special treat because Dar and Leslie are going to be teaching this, our inaugural series,
right, exactly.
Our first run of this.
So it's bringing me out of the counseling room back into the classroom to teach a little bit, which I always love to do, but I always put out a lot of energy. So sometimes I don't teach as much as I used to because I have to reserve my energy for other things sometimes.
Or other presentations and conferences. We pull you a lot of different directions.
So enough about those classes. And I'm really very pleased to welcome my daughter to the show because women and alcohol is a special interest for Christy. You know, she is currently writing her master's thesis on nutrition and sobriety. And just a couple of days ago, she completed her comprehensive nutrition test that qualifies her to be a registered dietitian. So she passed her RD test. And I'm proud to say that in the last 6 years, you've completed your bachelor's degree and you've almost completed your master's degree. You just have the thesis to finish. You've done your registered dietitian's internship, which was hard. You've completed your comprehensive test to be an RD. And you have 3 wonderful children, my grandchildren.
Yes. Thanks, Mom, for having me here today.
My pleasure.
Okay. So as I was researching my thesis, I have found that there are so many ways that alcohol affects women. I think we all know the dangers that alcohol poses during pregnancy, such as causing alcohol-related birth defects, including fecal alcohol syndrome. Hard to believe it is even that alcohol is even more harmful to the fetus than cocaine. Not that either is okay.
Well, that was one that really surprised me,
yes.
That actually alcohol is more dangerous to the fetus than cocaine. Isn't that amazing, Christy?
That is amazing.
Do we know why?
Well, yes, we do, because alcohol stays in the system longer and has longer-term damaging effects than cocaine, apparently. And I'm not an expert on either one of these things. You have to read it and research. That's all I know.
That's scary stuff. And I think pretty much everyone knows that alcohol presents health challenges to women. But one of the things when we were preparing for the show, and even in the research in the new set of classes, Dar, that we discovered is what the definition of moderate drinking for women is. This one really surprised me. Moderate drinking is considered no more than 1 5-ounce glass of wine or 1 12-ounce bottle of beer or 1.5 ounces of hard liquor per day.
Yes. Isn't
That's
that interesting?
That's pretty minimal.
So 1 5-ounce glass of wine. So, you know, if you are out there and you're listening and you say, you know, you're a wine drinker and you may be saying to yourself, I don't think I want to know any more about this risk of alcohol. Because I kind of happen to like my wine after work, you know?
Yes, but after looking at the research, as women, we do need to be aware of the risks so we can be more in charge of our own drinking behavior.
I agree, yes.
Well, and I think people know that when you drink too much, depending on, again, what that definition is, it increased the risks of auto accidents and violence and suicides. But some of the ways it takes a health toll on our body, high blood pressure, strokes, and certain types of cancer. So there are lots of links between alcohol and health conditions.
And that, Nancy, you just said, that's basically just drinking more than one drink per day, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? Just, you know. So I think we've kind of known for years that women should drink less than men. So why are women at a greater risk than men for developing alcohol-related problems? You know, I always like to know, what is that biochemical reason behind that? What causes that?
Well, and I always thought it's just because we're smaller, generally speaking.
Well, that's kind of it, isn't it?
That is kind of it, yeah. When we drink alcohol, it passes through our digestive tract, and it disperses into the fluids in our body. Which is mostly water. As women, we usually weigh less than men. Therefore, we contain less water. Less water equals higher concentration of alcohol, which is more detrimental to the women's brains and other organs, and they receive a higher toxic level of the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So you can't eat as much as men. They have better metabolism, and you can't drink as much.
That's very true.
Oh, boy. But I think the effects of alcohol on the brain are pretty interesting because that's really where things start to break down. And if we go back, and I'll probably say this a few times because it was such new information to me, that what is the definition of moderate drinking? It's that one glass of wine or one bottle of beer. And that means that anything over that is considered to be heavy drinking. So that would be 3 to 4 glasses of wine.
It's heavy drinking, isn't it?
Yeah. That's how it's defined.
Yes. So, you know, I have a favorite author lately, and his name is Dr. Daniel Amen, and he's a psychiatrist, and he's an author of Making a Good Brain Great. You know, he found that 4 glasses of wine increases the risk of dementia. Even a small amount of alcohol daily will shrink the size of the brain. So Dr. Amen works, you know, he works as a neuroscientist, and he believes the size of the brain matters. So you don't want your brain to be shrinking. So ladies, I think we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you life-changing nutrition information. Last Wednesday, both the Star and Tribune and Fox News reported on a research study from the Mayo Clinic about the increasing number of people who are gluten sensitive. And many people saw this, especially the Star and Tribune article. Dr. Joseph Murray from the Mayo Clinic, he's a researcher there, found that a 4 to 4.5 times greater increase in the last 50 years in the number of people who are gluten sensitive. So we know that about 30% of the population today has a gluten sensitivity. So if you have questions today about women and alcohol or any kind of nutrition question, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Nancy Palm, Corporate Sales and Project Manager, and I'm here with Christy Kavis, Registered Dietitian, and Darlene Kavis, Licensed Nutritionist. And we're discussing the role alcohol plays in women's health. Before break, we were talking about alcohol shrinking the size of the brain. And I remember, as my kids would say, back in the day, when I was student teaching, my supervising teacher once talked to me, and she was saying that she didn't drink any alcohol. And Lorna said her reason for it was that it killed her brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she described it. Is that an accurate?
Oh, sure. That's very accurate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hadn't heard that before, but I thought, well, that's a pretty scary thing. And that would be a... And she said, I need everyone I can get. One other thing I wanted to mention before we kind of go back to the topic is want to send some special congratulations and kudos to one of our staff members, Kristen. Many of you may have met her as a nutrition educator, but she recently completed her very first marathon. She ran Grandma's, and she did it in under 4 hours, which allowed her to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So we are very proud of you, Kristen, if you're listening out there. And
she's not running a race this morning, and so she said she was going to be listening. So
terrific.
We'll see if she really did get up to
listen. Well, she could be listening to us on her headphones as she's out running to keep in. I think she's running Twin Cities Marathon next.
Right, exactly. So we, you know, Nancy, before we went on break, I talked a little bit about that research that was done at the Mayo Clinic on people being more gluten sensitive these days than before.
So this actually, this increase that's hit my family because my daughter Willow has a gluten sensitivity. In the past, when she would eat gluten, her skin would break out in eczema, and that's really bad, facial eczema rash, and she would get burning diarrhea. By staying away from wheat, rye, barley, and oats, she is symptom-free. And I just have to say, I always know when Willow has had gluten because it's almost immediately that she'll get eczema on her face or she'll have pretty bad diarrhea. So it's a really quick way for me to find out if she's had gluten.
Christy, I can't tell you the number of young people that I've had in as clients this past week that were suffering from eczema also. And basically, they had to go on a gluten-free diet because, you know, the only thing you can do for gluten sensitivity is go on a gluten-free diet. There's no medications,
There's
right?
There's no medications. And I remember being so frustrated when she was young, going to the doctors and trying to get this figured out and worked out. And I was prescribed all sorts of creams for this and all sorts of creams for that. And I did try all of it, and none of it worked. The only thing that did work with her skin is gluten-free diet.
And that's what exactly the parents that have brought their children in, and, you know, from very young to, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, and they all have this really bad skin rash, and it's itchy, and it's uncomfortable, and you take them off of gluten, and a few days later, it basically almost clears up.
Starts to heal.
But there's a lot of tricks to this.
You have
to have a lot of information in order to stay gluten-free. It isn't just staying away from bread and pasta, is it?
No, absolutely not. It's knowing how to read all the labels and know where they're hiding all that stuff.
It is. So we see a lot of clients that want to more information about how to do a gluten-free diet. So let's go back to women and alcohol a little bit in our discussion today.
Yes, and we were talking about how alcohol kills brain cells and it shrinks your brain. And to me, if you have a shrinking brain, you have a shrinking memory. And I think, you know, a glass of wine once in a while appears to be of little risk. Personally, I don't want my brain to shrink because I would never be able to out-smart my 6-year-old or my 5-year-old or definitely not my 2-year-old.
No, definitely not him.
No. They have an advantage to begin with. Absolutely. Well, in talking about memory, I think one of the links that it's helpful to explain to people is how drinking, especially every day, can affect our neurotransmitters. And we talk in this about our classes a lot, as how our body communicates, how our cells communicate with each other. But what happens is if those cells aren't communicating, that can lead to cravings and to behavior where you seek out alcohol. So, Christy, can you talk a little bit more about neurotransmitters, how people understand what those are?
Yeah. Well, evidence does suggest that alcohol affects brain function by interacting with multiple neurotransmitter systems. So what did I just say?
Yes, did you just say?
So first, neurotransmitters are the chemical messengers that move from one cell to another in our brains and actually in our intestinal tracts, allowing cells to talk to one another. And talking cells are happy cells.
Christy, sometimes in class we talk about how women, when they're talking back and forth to each other and communicating, they're usually pretty happy. Well, that's kind of like what neurotransmitters do, don't they?
Yes.
When they're talking?
Talking cells are happy cells. But, you know, alcohol consumption disrupts that delicate balance between the neurotransmitters, which then influence behavior. Suddenly, it isn't happy talk between cells. It's just like a bar brawl breaking out in your brain.
That's a good definition. Well, and with alcohol use and all too, Dar, I know it starts and then you see patterns change over time, don't you? Especially mm-hmm. when you're working with clients.
Yeah, sometimes we start with one glass and then, you know, a couple months later it's two, and then it's a few months later it's three or four, and, you know, it's and actually alcohol is considered a depressant. It depresses people, and so long-term overconsumption of alcohol, you know, what does it do? It causes drowsiness, confusion, mood swings, memory problems, and actually more overconsumption leads to more cravings. And again, suddenly one glass isn't enough. And it leads to this alcohol-seeking behavior. Isn't that an interesting term?
It is.
Alcohol-seeking behavior. So,
well, and then what happens to nutrition in that mix? It might not be the priority.
Probably is not the priority.
It once was.
Yes.
Well, and I think it comes back to, I guess I would describe it as kind of a slippery slope, because if heavy drinking is considered more than one per day, and you think about the patterns people get into, that means that the health implications are pretty significant, and anything above that level, doesn't it, Dar?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
And we know that we talked earlier about high blood pressure and some of the other things that alcohol is linked to, but it's also been linked to certain cancers, cancer of the digestive tract, of the head and the neck. Again, it just very, what a lot of people would think of as moderate levels, but what are defined as heavier levels.
Right, exactly. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, last fall when I was attending the American College of Nutrition Conference in D.C., you know, I sat in on a four-hour presentation by the American Institute for Cancer Research. And honestly, I learned some startling facts about women and alcohol. After looking at hundreds of research studies, the Institute for Cancer Research concluded any alcohol increases the risk for cancer when it was for women, any alcohol.
Once again, that's
a pretty strong statement, isn't it?
It is. We're very different from men in how our bodies metabolize or handle substances.
Mm-hmm. It is, yes.
And cancer is the second leading cause of death. And I believe we are told one out of every women will develop breast cancer, which is very scary. There is a lot of talk about early detection with little or no discussion about prevention.
That's true.
And as a registered dietitian, I believe it is our professional responsibility to get the message out about prevention. For many women, it is to reduce alcohol consumption. And I think women have to consider it an occasional treat and not a daily habit.
I think that's true. And that's amazingly changed for a lot of women. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. If you are looking for more energy, good moods, and a better metabolism, sign up for our weight and wellness classes starting this coming week. Monday night, we have a class in Wayzata or in St. Paul. Tuesday night in Burnsville. Wednesday night in Woodbury or Anoka. Thursday night in Maple Grove, White Bear Lake, or Edina. And Friday morning in White Bear Lake. So these are 6 weeks, and they many class members in just 6 weeks. Just think about this. They have lost 20 to 25 pounds without dieting or being deprived. They feel better, have more energy, and many have given up foods with trans fats and high fructose corn syrup, and they're going to be healthier for the rest of their life.
Always a goal of yours, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud.
I find it very satisfying to disappoint my children.
That's the secret, really, is just find the joy in their disappointment.
On FM 107.1, laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Today we're discussing the role alcohol plays in women's health. If you're still wondering if the nutritional weight and wellness classes are your answer, please read about our classes on our website, weightandwellness.com, or if you're wondering if you can take class one in Burnsville, maybe class two in Edina or St. Paul, call 651-699-3438 and we can work with your schedule. We also have a brand new feature we're excited about, and that is that you can register for our classes online. Very simple, and it's done. So we have lots of ways to bring these classes to you. And Dar, there's a special class that we're offering that is particularly good for nurses, where we call it our Fast Track Weight and Wellness Series. Do you want to explain
sure.
how that
it's,
works?
It's on two Saturdays. It's our Weight and Wellness classes condensed into two Saturdays, and it's 12 hours, so you get lots of credits, and it's really, and you know, not only are you getting continuing education credits, so a lot of nurses and trainers and other people can take that class, and in two Saturdays, they get the credits, but they also get the information, and they get the benefits for improving their own health, and what a win situation. You get your continuing education, continuing education credits, and you also get to benefit your own health. I mean, that's the best.
It's a great way to get a lot of information in a very short time. Your brain will be tired by the end of the day, but you will leave knowing a lot about nutrition.
So we were talking about cancer and alcohol just before we went on break, and how alcohol increases the risk for cancer. And I think we were kind of mentioning the fact that one out of eight women have the potential to develop breast cancer before their life is over. So that's a pretty high rate right now. And many, many, many years ago, it was one out of 50. So the rate has increased dramatically. So we were talking about even drinking like one drink, wasn't it, that increased. So why is that happening? You know, let's look at breast cancer a little bit more in detail. So it's kind of interesting for women. The higher your estrogen level, the more readily you absorb alcohol, and the more slowly you break it down. So on the other hand, alcohol increases estrogen. Isn't that interesting? And often after you have a glass of wine or a cocktail, your estrogen level can spurt up by 300% after drinking alcohol. Now, it may be only for a short time, but up goes that alcohol. Isn't that interesting? Up goes that estrogen level after drinking alcohol. Isn't that interesting?
I can't imagine how that affects the body in every way.
Yes.
We all talk about when our estrogen levels are high, what that feels like. So you may not even be aware of what's happening. But that's pretty scary, because we know that many breast cancers are estrogen positive. So I think what the research said, Dar, that you were mentioning that's really interesting is that also women who drink heavily have more breast cancer than mm-hmm. women who don't drink.
That's right.
So it's got to go back to that estrogen connection.
Well, actually, Nancy, let's continue that conversation just a bit, because, you know, I think if especially women that are listening that have been in, that are in menopause or perimenopause, know that if they have a glass of wine, they often have a hot flash. And so it disconnects, doesn't it?
Oh,
that
sure.
up goes their estrogen levels and they have a hot flash. So it makes sense to me when you look at all that stuff.
I would never have thought of that, but absolutely that does. Another little body signed-ar an estrogen spurt would be a hot flash.
Yep. Christy, you're way too young for any of that stuff.
Oh, yes. You know, hopefully. I'll get there.
Give it another 20 years, yeah. And then you'll know.
Yeah. Oh. So TV nutrition. That's Dar's favorite term for nutrition information that is trying to sell a product that is not research-based, yet the messages are played over and over and over until most people believe what the commercials are saying is fact.
That's true.
You know, such as red wine. You know, if we ask anybody on the street about red wine, I think most people would say, oh, it's good for your heart. Mm-hmm. The reality check on this one is alcohol, even red wine, is a free radical that we know can damage blood vessels.
That's a free radical. Okay.
You always talk about those as little spikes that go in and attack your cells, I think, which is a good metaphor for things that are doing damage that we don't even see.
That's right.
And I think, we're talking about cancer. We've talked about heart attacks and strokes and how women who drink more than one drink a day are at higher risk for that. But the whole red wine piece, I think, is confusing for people because the new buzzword in kind of supplements and all sorts of circles is resveratrol. And that is sort of the magic ingredient in red wine, isn't it, Dar?
Yeah, it is.
That's why it's touted as being healthy.
It is. So let's hold that thought for just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If 8 a.m. is too early for you to listen, we are pleased to let you know that Dishing Up Nutrition is now rebroadcast Sunday evening from 6 to 7. So I bet we'll catch a lot of listeners this holiday weekend as they're driving back from up north or wherever they've been. So if you're a first-time listener, say we just really welcome you. And we hope you keep listening, but just for everybody else, they can tune in either at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, or they can listen to us as a rebroadcast on Sunday evening. And we'll be back in a moment.
Lori and Julia.
My sister said, if it's an open casket, I said, will you wait 2 weeks so I lose a little weight first? Because I got that outfit I want to fit into. Yeah.
Weekdays from 3 to 7 on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Joining us today is Dar's daughter, Christy, and Christy is currently completing her master's thesis on nutrition and sobriety. Christy, can you tell us a little bit about your thesis and what you're looking at?
Yeah, certainly. One of the things that I'm looking at is blood sugar balance as an eating frequently throughout the day. I'm working with Carol Ackerley. She's the director of a small women-only treatment center in Burnsville called River Ridge.
In fact, Christy, we've had Carol on the show a couple of times.
Yep. She's a great lady.
She is a great lady.
Well, and that's pretty new, isn't it? Linking nutrition with a program at a treatment center at the level she is?
Oh, yes.
That's definitely very new.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's way out ahead on this.
I think most treatment centers you would find, you ask anybody about the behavior of somebody who was recently in recovery, and they've got a Mountain Dew in one hand, a candy bar in the other, and a cigarette. So they're trying to do everything they can to kind of calm down those neurotransmitters.
But they're making them worse.
They're making them worse.
Yeah, those don't sound like calming foods or substances.
Well, I mean, there is confusion, isn't there?
Yes, but that's typically what you do see with, especially in newly recovering people. And I guess not only newly recovering, people who have been in recovery for 20 years.
Yes, exactly.
So, this treatment center, the River Ridge, they focus on nutrition and they follow a menu that I wrote, which is based on frequent balanced meals. Many of them are organic, meat, vegetables, good fat, low sugar, no chips, no soda, just foods to heal the body and the brain.
And so you wrote this menu like over a year ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
And they've been following this kind of a menu for a long time.
A long time. Mm-hmm. Yep, they have their own cook in there. They don't use industrial food. They like I had said before, a lot of it's organic, and mm-hmm. they're doing well. And these, you know, these women actually, they eat organic eggs and vegetables and butter for breakfast.
Yes. Amazing.
Amazing. You know,
lucky women.
Yeah, lucky women. And, you know, for many of these women, it's the first time they've even ever had breakfast.
Yes, exactly.
They, you know, probably typically never had breakfast. So many didn't have moms that made breakfast, you know, and I find most alcoholic women are deficient in many nutrients. And I believe my research will show that women that have good nutrition will have less relapses and a better quality of sobriety. And I want to say that one more time because I think that's really important. Women that have good nutrition will have less relapses and a better quality of sobriety.
Yes. So did you do a rat study?
I did. Well, I didn't do it. I researched a rat study, which I found really, really interesting. They took rats and they would get a certain population of rats addicted to alcohol. And then they put these rats in front of sugar and they took away the alcohol. And these rats went after that sugar like no tomorrow. They just replaced the alcohol with the sugar. But on the other hand, they took rats and addicted them to sugar. And then they took away that sugar and gave them the chance to drink alcohol or water. And those sugar-addicted rats went right to the alcohol.
Okay. And I know Carol believes that a precursor to alcohol addiction is Mountain Dew. She always says that. She thinks that sets the brain up, you know, which is high sugar. You know, any kind of pop would do that.
But isn't Mountain Dew one of the highest sugar pops?
Well, it's, you know, I think
and
Coke
caffeine.
Is, yeah, it is.
I think it's high sugar, high caffeine. I think both of them together with Mountain Dew, that's kind of the high.
Okay, that
I think
combination.
So. Yeah.
So anyway, I think, Christy, you know, mention that, you know, I think people would be interested in your research as you go along with your thesis. And how are, if people want to get a hold of you, how could they get a hold of you? Maybe give out your email address or.
Yep. My email address is Kvist. K-V as in Victor, I-S-T-K, at uwstout.edu.
So, you know, just as people are wondering about this a little bit more. So we were kind of talking about, before we talked about the blood sugar, and did you want to talk about more about blood sugar and things as far as when people are in treatment or...
Well, I think a big part of recovery for women, for men and women, is to get to a place where you have you can be more calm. You can have a little bit more serenity. You can, and I believe if women can balance out their blood sugar so they're not having these highs and lows of blood sugar, and they can stop the sugar so they don't have that constant chatter in their brain telling them that they want something, they want something, they want something, I think women will be much more successful in the recovery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so you mentioned you're doing that through changing the kinds of foods they eat, and that must be so that the brain gives out or gets better messages?
Yes, absolutely. Part of my thesis is increasing the protein and making sure these women get adequate protein. And as I'm sure Dar has talked on earlier shows, we know that protein has all those wonderful amino acids that will make our neurotransmitters in our brain. So they make our serotonin and our dopamine. Mm-hmm. So if we have enough protein, we're able to make those neurotransmitters.
And when we're low on those serotonin and dopamine is when we have more problems with addiction. And so it just kind of goes. And then when we drink more alcohol, our neurotransmitters get confused and they are not receiving the messages as well as they should. And so then it leads to more addiction patterns. So
it's a whole big cycle, isn't it?
It is.
And that's why breakfast is so important, because you have to start the day with everything functioning.
Yes.
So you don't set up a pattern.
Right. Absolutely.
So that is why I am so set about having real protein for breakfast, like eggs or meat or fish or maybe a little bit of salmon versus a bowl of cereal, because we know that cereal turns into sugar. You know, like many of the cereals will turn into 12 teaspoons of sugar. Just in a cup of cereal is 12 teaspoons of sugar. So kids are getting their brains set up. You know, just think about that. If you give your little one a bowl of cereal and a glass of juice and a banana.
Right. You're giving them sugar.
So you start out the day overstimulated and kind of hyperdrive or something.
Yes, exactly.
And I think an important question for parents to ask too, when you're giving your children this high sugar diet, are you setting these children up for an addiction later on in life?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that we have the show, I think, is to let people know that that is not something that they should be doing, and they don't even realize it. That's the problem. People think they know about nutrition, but honestly, they know very little about nutrition, of what it really, how it really affects the brain and the body even. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, and today we're talking about alcohol and its impacts on the body, but every single person will notice the difference in how their brain and body functions if they eat better or eat differently.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't have to take it to the extreme to see a difference.
Yeah, that's right. So let's, I think what we'll do is, I think we'll just take another quick break, and then we'll come back and finish up our discussion. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, another interesting fact about women and alcohol, 30% of people who have had gastric bypass surgery become alcoholics. Even people that never drank before the surgery suddenly become addicted to alcohol. Many people in treatment now are those that have had gastric bypass. So let's face it, real nutrition is a much safer long-term solution for weight loss. Our weight and wellness class is a great place to start. So we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Nancy Palm, and I work with DAR. One of the things I do is help determine show topics, book our special guests, and schedule co-hosts. If you as a listener have any topic that you would like us to develop into a show, or maybe you'd like us to come to your company and teach one of our classes, please email me at nancy@weightandwellness.com. And I'll get back to you. I love to talk about our classes and how we bring them off-site and about our radio show. And we're excited right now. We're at companies and schools and organizations all over the Twin Cities. And just for the future, I would love, we're always looking, we're planning a couple months ahead usually on the radio show. So we're always looking for new topics and ideas and would love to know what you want to hear about. That's nancy@weightandandwellness.com. Now, before we took our break, we're going back to something that we talked about earlier, and that is red wine. And you hear a lot about that in the news right now, Dar, and the health benefits.
Right.
And it all ties back to this mysterious compound or substance called resveratrol.
And, you know, the interesting thing about that is it is an antioxidant. We know that. And we know what antioxidants do. Is alcohol is a free radical. So a free radical goes out and damages the blood vessels, for one thing, mm-hmm. or it damages all cells. And, you know, before we went on break, we were talking about it, Nancy. It's like a little spike that goes out and kind of tears up the blood vessel or your cell wall. That's what it does. That's what a free radical does.
So it makes them vulnerable.
Yes.
And breaks them down.
So if you picture this and you think about antioxidant, it goes in there and it stops or puts up its hand and blocks the damage that this free radical does. So it puts a coating on or it basically stops that free radical damage.
So that's why they're considered to be anti-aging,
that's
compounds
right.
like this.
Exactly. So how much red wine would you really need to drink to get the benefit, the antioxidant benefit? Well, you'd have to drink 200 glasses of red wine before you reached that level of antioxidant to protect your heart.
Well, if you're following the guidelines and using what's considered to be moderate drinking, then it would take you 200 days to reach that, wouldn't it?
Right.
So, but then would you stay there or would you have to start over and would it take another 200? That's a long time. So you really would need to drink a lot of wine,
yes,
to get the protective effect, bottom line.
So basically what we're saying is it is not a reason to drink red wine. The taste, maybe you can say, I like the taste of red wine, but you don't drink it for the antioxidant protection.
No, apparently not. And one of the things with drinking alcohol, and this is something I think that even beyond health, most women can relate to is what does that do to your metabolism and just everyday calorie intake. And alcohol is empty calories. There's no way around it. If we can't say the resveratrol benefit is high enough, then it's an empty calorie. And we talk about empty calories as being something that basically is devoid of nutrients or of substances our body needs.
And yeah. I can say that, carbohydrates and protein, they have 4 grams of carbohydrate or four calories per gram.
Yes.
And alcohol actually has 7 calories per gram. So it's almost twice as much than like a carbohydrate or a protein.
Was that on your test?
Not that one.
Okay.
But it doesn't take too long or too many glasses of wine to really increase your calorie intake at all.
Right.
If you had 2 glasses of wine a day.
Red wine?
Even red. Red or white a day. For a week, that'd be 1,400 calories. Well, by the end of a month, you've got 5,600 more calories. If you do that consistently, it would add up to about 2 pounds of weight you would gain each month, or 20 pounds a year. And most of us work really hard just to stay even, to maintain and not gain. So it really has an impact.
Well, I think especially people, women that are in perimenopause and menopause.
Oh, everything changes.
Everything changes. And what you have is that you've got the extra estrogen if you're drinking that glass of wine or 2 glasses of wine at night. And I can't tell you the number of people that come into the office and say, I can't lose weight and I just don't understand this. And they will admit to having a glass or two of wine because they don't have to worry about being up with their kids any longer. And they're working long hours right now. Many, many people are working long, long hours. And it's like their treat, their reward to come home and have a glass of wine or 2 glasses of wine. And they are gaining weight. Well, I think what we're saying right here, the reason that they're gaining weight, just think about this. If you drink, again, Nancy, say that one more time. If you
had 2 glasses of wine a day, that would be 1,400 calories more a week or 5,600 calories a month. And if you do the math and take that out, that would be about 2 pounds of weight you'd be gaining each month or about 20 pounds in a year. That's a lot.
And just think about how much you would have to walk or how many hours you'd have to exercise off 5,600 calories.
I can't imagine. I remember when I was in my 20s, I once heard, because I used to like the coffee at Mr. Donut. Seriously, way back when. And then I would, but the donuts weren't bad either. And someone once told me you had to walk 7 miles to get rid of the calories from one donut. That cured it right there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of the donuts for me.
So it's very interesting about all these different things. When you start taking a look at women and alcohol, it's Christy?
Yeah, and I was going to say, and I think that weight for a lot of women goes right to it's abdominal weight,
yes.
The kind of weight no woman wants.
And I think maybe it goes back to the fact that alcohol has more calories in it.
Yeah.
And it adds up quicker for people.
Yes.
So, We Christy and I are doing a little presentation coming up with Carol Ackley, and that's going to be, I think, July 20th at 10 o'clock in the morning. I know it isn't even on my schedule, Nancy, because you don't have it.
I don't.
And we're doing something on nutrition and sobriety. And if you want more information, I think you can even just call our office, and our office is 651-699-3438, and I think, we can probably have you included in that presentation for people.
So, Dar, if there's a takeaway on nutrition and sobriety or alcohol in women, what would you see it as being?
I think that the thing that, after doing this research, is that women have to be very, very cautious when it comes to drinking alcohol. And I think that most women have thought that 1 or 2 drinks or one or two glasses of wine was just okay, no problem, no damage. But long-term effect, it does have some damage. So that's the takeaway. And you have to be real cautious and you have to use it as a treat. I know it's changed mine. I now order iced tea. So a personal change. So thank you for listening. And remember to join us next week on a new topic. See you then.
The preceding was a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the management or ownership of FM 107. WFMP, Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Minneapolis.